The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. The last time I looked up some stats on Bible ownership in the country, this country, the United States of America, it was still above 90% of American households had at least one copy of God's Word. So that's not really an issue for us, is it? Most houses, believe it or not, I mean, shocking, we obviously aren't taking it off the shelf and reading it and putting it into practice, but most Christians in America are self-professed or otherwise. Can easily get access to a Bible, no big deal. Go down to, you can get one at Walmart if you want. But as many as 9 of 10 Christians in parts of Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East are actually denied God's Word. So we're going to talk to Michael Woolworth today, who's with the Bible League, BibleLeague.org. And we are going to spend just one segment today and hear a story and then help Michael be back on Friday. Because right now with our friends at Truth Radio Network working on an initiative to send out 3,500 Bibles, God's Word, to 3,500 Bible-less believers. These are people that want one, want to study one, are serious about it, but can't get their hands on one. As opposed to us in America, we can get our hands on one, but we don't appear to be very serious about studying and putting it into practice. So we're excited to be a partner here in trying to get these Bibles to our brothers and sisters around the world that need them. Michael Woolworth with the Bible League. Brother, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Steve, I appreciate your faithful witness and grateful to have a few moments to keep this before your listeners. If I may say, last spring we partnered together as two ministries for the very first time ever. And we had this similar goal, 3,500 Bibles. We wanted to put God's Word in the hands of 3,500 Bible-less believers. When it was all said and done, with a match thrown in, I think your listeners sent a little more than 5,000 Bibles. Wow. So we're back rejoicing in that number. We're simply asking, will you do it again? We need to finish this by the end of next week. So, Steve, again, thanks for just a couple of minutes to keep this before your listeners.
You're welcome, and I know the pressure's on, and there's people. I mean, it's hard for us to understand in our American context that people can't get to a Bible, but certainly God does amazing things when His Word gets into the hands of His people. I know you mentioned you wanted to tell a story about Nora, who lives in the Middle East.
Yeah, you know, this is our 83rd year of ministry, Steve. We work in the four regions you just mentioned. We do this primarily through discipleship and evangelism. So people will come through this Bible League study. It's about 8 to 12 weeks. I've gone through it, Steve. I can say that anybody, anywhere in the world, whatever ism they've left, they're in a good place to begin their walk with Christ, and yet they're in a place typically where it is so hard to get what is so elementary to the Christian faith, and that is a Bible. And so that's what your listeners are doing today, is helping us make good on that promise to get Bibles into the hands of receivers like Nora, who is an Arabic speaker in the Middle East. Listen, I know we're all hearing these horrific stories coming out of Afghanistan. The Taliban, as it takes over the country, punishing people left and right. They're even hanging people in the public square. I guess there's a new rift between the Taliban and one of the segments of ISIS. But here's what happened to Nora not too long ago, Steve. Radicals, after killing her husband a couple of years ago, showed up at her doorstep and burned her house down, nearly killing all four daughters, the youngest of which, about 4 years of age, maimed for life. She has serious burns all over her body. Everybody else got out alive. But you know what Nora's crime is? Two things. Number one, she's a born-again believer. And number two, she was caught educating her daughters beyond the age of 8. Now listen, in that world, that part of the world, and in that system of Islam, that is a serious, serious violation. But again, Nora's free from the grips of Islam. She's a follower of Christ, but nevertheless, that's the crime she paid. Steve, here's her story. A couple of years ago, she couldn't read, she couldn't write. She had been denied an education by members of her community there, again, simply because she is a woman. And she couldn't read, she couldn't write, but she encountered a program from Bible League where we give people the gift of literacy. As we've engaged people over 83 years of ministry, when you engage people and you find out they can't read, they can't write, you've got, you know, another problem, but really another opportunity. And so we've created these programs in the languages of the world. They're offered all over the world by local evangelical churches, and this woman was able to engage with one of these programs, Steve. She was able to learn to read and write in Arabic. In grateful response, she became trained in that program. She has taught that to Arabic-speaking women, most of those Muslims in the Middle East. And would you know it, about 100 have come to Christ there in the Middle East, Steve, where it's very difficult to find a Bible. I mean, you're not going to find a Christian bookstore. You know, big box retailers here. I mean, it's a big business for them, right,
to carry
Bibles and inspirational books. There's no Amazon to drop a box of Bibles into her village. And so we're asking your listeners today, thank God the gospel's going forth in some of the most difficult regions of the world and some of the most difficult circumstances. Here's a widow with four daughters. She wants to raise them to know and love Jesus. And she's led about 100 people to Christ there in the Middle East.
Wow.
And so the prayer really is not for an end to all the suffering they face. And it can be severe, right? Especially if radicals show up and burn your house down. But they're praying that they'll love God's word more and more each day. They'll
see those
around them not as the enemy, but as the mission field. And, of course, they need Bibles, Steve, to be able to endure and persevere. And that's why we're here today doing this kingdom business.
Yeah, which is so exciting. And for us over here in our safe little world to be able to help propel the Bible into the hands of people that desperately want it, need it, and will study it, and are willing to die for it is something that we should all, that should be an easy no-brainer, as I like to call it. So these are just $5 a Bible to buy them and ship them and get them over there, 20 Bibles for $100, obviously. How do we do this, Michael? How do we partner?
Well, we've set a goal. We want to put God's Word in the hands and hearts of 3,500 Bibleist believers. Steve, today as you and I talk, we're about a third of the way to that goal, grateful for every gift. Sometimes listeners simply need to hear, hey, this won't go on forever.
Sure.
Now's the time to call. They can do two ways, by way of a credit or debit card or a bank transfer. They can call a toll-free number. It's 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. Let me spell that out. It's 800-937-9673. That's about a two-minute transaction. Our operators will get you on, get you off very, very quickly. Or just go to truthnetwork.com. There's a banner that says the world needs the word. You'll see the Bible League logo there. Just click that. You can make your gift safely, securely, and again, about 2 minutes' time. And I guarantee you'll put tears of joy on the faces of Bible-less believers around the world. And that's what we're doing today. And again, we're so grateful for a great outpouring in the spring.
Amen.
And we're simply asking, Truth Network listeners, will you do it again?
That's right. Do it again. We can do it again. That should be relatively easy for all of us. Again, go to truthnetwork.org. You'll see the banner right there, Give Now, Send Bibles banner. Or, nice and easy, 1-800-YES-WORD. 1-800-YES-WORD. What a beautiful, simple phone number to have to be able to do something that's got eternal weight to it. Just awesome. Michael, thank you so much for calling in today. We look forward to talking to you again later in the week. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, you too, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right, you're welcome. We'll talk again soon. That was Michael Woolworth, truthnetwork.com. Just look for the banner or call 1-800-YES-WORD. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Just a reminder again with our friend Michael Woolworth, who called in from the Bible League. Just $5 a Bible. You can send it, like he was telling the story about Nora in the Middle East, who her house was burned down by radicals because she's a Christian. She was educating her daughters. Past the age of 8, that's a no-no in some of these Islamic parts of the world. She's led 100-plus people to Christ, but she needs Bibles. So that's why we partnered through our friends at the Truth Radio Network earlier this year in the spring to send over 5,000 Bibles. That's awesome. And now the goal this time is to send at least 3,500. They're about a third of the way there. So if you can help, just $5 a Bible. Just call. Let's do it the old-fashioned way, just to try it. Just to try a phone call. See how that goes for you. See if you can. It's like riding a bike. Just pick up the phone. If you remember how to dial, right? It's not a text. Just dial 1-800-YES-WORD. And if you're like, I don't remember seeing letters on my dial pad. Yeah, they're there. Just look closely. We're not used to seeing it. Even on a smartphone, you can see it. 1-800-YES-WORD. It'll just take you a couple minutes, and we can help send Bibles around the world to people that need them. They're coming out our ears here in America, but not in many other places in the world. So we appreciate Michael calling in. Okay, so did you see what was trending this weekend? Because you're all very trendy people. Hashtag arrest Fauci. So this was fascinating to me. This was in the Daily Wire. Social media erupts in calls to hashtag arrest Fauci as doctor accused of lying, funding cruel puppy testing. So If you're a real puppy fanatic, by the way, you're not going to like this story. I'm going to share some details because this is really brutal. And this is about where NIH funding money is going, and that's under the control of Pope Fauci ultimately. The buck stops with him. And so that's why the story recently of NIH, this just came out last Wednesday, the NIH National Institute of Health, admitted in a letter to lawmakers that U.S. taxpayers funded research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology that led to the creation of a more severe strain of bat coronavirus. The NIH also admitted that its grantee that funded the research, EcoHealth Alliance, violated the terms of its grant by failing to report the outcome of the research. The WIV is one of the chief suspects for the origin of COVID-19, of course, that's right back in Wuhan, China. Then this on Sunday. So this was what was fascinating to me as a person with a rather robust Christian worldview. So Fauci can all kinds of missteps, misleading, misinformation, disinformation. I don't know, but certainly has fumbled the ball many, many times. It's been remarkably frustrating. And all of that isn't enough to get social media really bent out of shape about him until you get puppies involved. Then all of a sudden, I mean, we're killing about 1 million children a year in America, but that you're not going to get anything trending on social media because of that. But you mistreat some puppies, all of a sudden, people are calling for Fauci, arrest Fauci. So isn't that interesting from a moral, ethical perspective? On Sunday, a bipartisan group of lawmakers led by Representative Nancy Mace, who's a Republican from South Carolina, called on Fauci to answer for a report that the NIH funded experiments on dozens of beagle puppies in a lab in Tunisia, North Africa. The report released by the investigative group White Coat Waste Project alleges that scientists infected 44 puppies with disease-causing parasites for experimental drug testing. This gets kind of brutal, by the way. So a little warning here. The lawmakers' letter described the research as costly, cruel, and unnecessary. The letter continues, according to the documents obtained via a Freedom of Information Act and subsequent media coverage from October 2018 until February 2019, NIAID spent $1.68 million in taxpayer funds on drug tests involving 44 beagle puppies. The dogs were all between 6 and 8 months old. The commission tests involved injecting and force feeding the puppies an experimental drug for several weeks before killing and dissecting them. Of particular concern is the fact that the invoice to NIAID included a line item for cordectomy. This is so horrific. As you are likely aware, a cordectomy, also known as a devocalization, involves slitting a dog's vocal cords in order to prevent them from barking, howling, or crying. Now, why would they want to do that? That's because it's a cruel procedure, and they want to keep the dogs quiet because of the pain. And you may have seen a couple pictures of this. Puppies laying there on their side with their head like in a little cage, like in a bent, like in a glass kind of thing. They have their head in there, and then they just let fruit flies attack their heads until they're dead. That was another part of this. And some of that funding came through the NIH, which is Dr. Fauci, the director of the United Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, which is who funded this. So this is going on. And now it's hashtag arrest Fauci. All the other stuff, all the other missteps, misinformation. I don't know if it's disinformation. I think it probably is. And all of that. But what breaks the camel's back? It's abuse of puppies. And so I looked at that one and I was like, okay, we have all kinds of other issues and human costs all over the place. But what really gets the ire of social media world? Puppies. Good or bad. This just shows you how out of whack our moral system is. Listen, I'm not for abuse of any animal because of who created them. If you have a consistent biblical worldview, that's going to include being against cruelty to animals for no good reason. Okay. But in this case, that's what really gets people going? Wow. All right, then there's this. I talked about this. We talked about this when it first came out, when the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, sent the letter to the FBI, which then went to, of course, the Department of Justice about harassment and intimidation of school officials, which was really a veiled shot across the bow of all you ticked off parents that have been showing up at school board meetings to fight for the innocence and the protection of your children. Shame on you. So here's this. This is on Fox News over the weekend. National School Board Association, sorry for the language it used in its letter. The National School Board Association issued an apology Friday night, because nobody would hear about it, for a letter sent to the Biden administration, which targeted some parents who are concerned about their child's school curriculum and said certain of their actions should be domestic terrorism. Quote, as you all know, there's been an extensive media and other attention recently around our letter to President Biden regarding threats and acts of violence against school board members. We wanted to write you to directly address this matter. On behalf of NSBA, we regret and apologize for the letter. There was no justification, they said, for some of the language included in the letter. After the NSBA claimed in its letter that some rhetorical clashes between school boards and parents may amount to domestic terrorism, Attorney General Merrick Garland issued a memorandum that instructed the FBI to take the lead on a task force to address threats against school officials, including creating a centralized way to report such threats. Nothing to see there, right? No concerns. A person familiar with Garland's thinking told Fox News that Garland and the Department of Justice officials are pleased with the updated letter, as it now is catching up to his statement this week in front of the House Judiciary Committee. The person added that the letter now syncs up with Garland and that the attorney general is solely focused on preventing violence, not calling parents domestic terrorists. Okay, well, the damage has already been done. I think this is just a diversion. Call me cynical, but I understand the sin nature of mankind. I'm very familiar with our depravity. And so what are they? All of a sudden, you get all this pushback because of what Merrick Garland did, which was a result of the National School Board Association sending that letter to the Biden administration, which then, of course, it's like following a marble down through a Chinese checkers game, which it goes from one spot to the next. You just follow the marble. Where does it go? It goes from the Biden administration to Merrick Garland, the AG. Then he sends it to the FBI. He sends it to the rest of the Department of Justice. The next thing you know, you're intimidating parents all over the country. And then that kind of blew up. So then we write this half-hearted apology. Oh, sorry for that whole domestic terrorism thing. That was a little over the top. Please forgive us. Do you really think they've changed their mind? Do you think that's legitimate? Of course not. So don't buy it, parents. Keep showing up. Keep raising your voices. Keep being upset, because we are talking about the innocence and protection of your children. After all, love your neighbor as yourself. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Oh, angels said from welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And, oh, well, that's not good. So our friends on, let's see, part of the radio feed is off. For some folks, hold on, I'm just trying to take care of some stuff here in the studio. So that's not good. Some of our friends out there outside the Truth Radio Network said the radio feed is off. So that's not good. Hold on. Sorry. Live radio, not a big operation, so I'm texting people myself, okay? So hopefully somebody will take care of that and get that figured out. Okay, you ready for a good story, like a positive, encouraging, K-Love kind of moment? We need more of those. I really love it when I find these things, and you do too, I'm sure, because we usually don't get this kind of good news. So this is a story out of Louisiana. After a really violent week of fighting at a Louisiana high school, a group of dads decided they were going to do something about it. So this is a good charge to all of us. Public school system, public. So don't feel like you can't get involved, that you don't have a place there. Of course you do. You help pay for it, especially if your kids are in there. But even if your kids aren't in there, all of us followers of Jesus Christ should care about what's going on in our school systems, because love your neighbor as yourself, right? So whether your kids are in there or not is irrelevant. Other people's kids in general, any kid. So we should care about it. So this is a great story. This was on the CBS News somewhere. This is a 2-minute clip. So for those of you on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, you'll see the video. But for you on radio, you'll hear it. But this is a great story, really inspiring, and I really appreciate what these dads are doing. This is awesome. You ready? Let's roll it. So this is Dads on Duty.
When the SOS went up at a troubled school, who answered the call? A bunch of DADs. Here's CBS's Steve Hartman on the road.
I love this story.
Not many good news stories begin in such a bad news way. It happened last month here at Southwood High School in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Plagued with violence.
Over the course of 3 days,
another fight.
23 students arrested for fighting.
Massive police response.
But strangely, there hasn't been another incident since. perhaps in part, because of this most unusual crisis intervention team.
Nobody here has a degree in school counseling. No majors in criminal justice.
No.
Your qualifications are?
Dad.
We decided the best people who can take care of our kids are who? Us.
So Michael Lafitte started Dads on Duty.
We're out doing what we do for our babies.
A group of about 40 Southwood dads who now hang out at the school in shifts.
Let's go.
Today, any negative energy that enters the building has to run a gauntlet of good parenting.
What's going on, buddy?
You moving fast. I like that horse.
I immediately felt a form of safety.
We stopped fighting. People started going to class.
How could that be?
You ever heard of a look?
A look? Dads have the power to do that?
Yes. Not many people know it, but yes.
Let's go.
But it's not just the firm stares and stern warnings.
Let's make it to class, my son.
It's also the dad jokes.
They just make funny jokes like, oh, hey, your student's untied, but it's really not untied.
And they hate it. They're so embarrassed by it.
And it's that perfect mix of tough love and gentle ribbing that dads do so well that has helped transform this school.
The school has really just been, like, happy, and you can feel it.
Which is why the dads plan to keep coming to Southwood.
Yes.
Indefinitely.
Do it.
Because not everybody has
the father figure
at home.
Or a male, period. In their life.
So just to be here makes a big difference.
Do you think you stumbled onto something here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have a good morning.
They'd like to start chapters of Dads on Duty throughout Louisiana.
What's up, baby boy?
And hope to eventually take on the country.
All right.
Without a fight. Steve Hartman on the road.
All right, see,
in Shreveport,
that's
Louisiana.
That's awesome. Dads on Duty. Now, that's the deal. There's a positive thing. Make sure you kill it. There's a positive thing going on. And especially if, for you on the radio, you didn't see this. So all these dads are African-Americans. They're all African-Americans. And especially in the African-American community, like I mentioned this before, nationwide, 42% of children are growing up without a father in the home. 42%. So guess what that affects? That would be everything. That affects everything. And so especially in this situation, a Louisiana school, probably a more poor area, and in the African-American community, fatherlessness is way worse than that. In the inner city, it can be as high as 90%+. So we yell about school boards and all the other stuff, yes, but what about just some good guys, some good dads showing up? Men being men. Imagine that. You don't need cracking dad jokes and all that kind of stuff, but their mere presence changes things. Almost like it was designed to work that way. Shocking, isn't it? I love that. Praise the Lord for these guys. Please, Lord, give them great favor and multiplicity to their efforts. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine if that starts? Little thing like that in schools, especially inner city schools, poor area schools, schools in general, but especially in the harder hit areas. Imagine what could happen there when God's way, fathers, leadership, teaching, loving, guiding, rebuking, God's way. Imagine what could happen. That's awesome. So pay attention. Dads on Duty. Google it for yourself and don't sit around and wait. Why don't you find out if you can do that in your own school, especially if you have kids or grandkids in school, okay? Speaking of children, is the FDA about to approve an experimental COVID vaccine for kids? Oh, this is great. I love it. On Tuesday, October 26th, the FDA's meeting, that's tomorrow, to discuss a request to amend Pfizer Biotech emergency use authorization for administration of their COVID-19 mRNA vaccine to children 5 through 11. What could possibly go wrong? Healthy children, by the way, aren't really threatened by COVID-19. As compared to adults, children are less prone to get COVID, they're less prone to be hospitalized by COVID, and they're far less likely to die from COVID. I'll share some numbers in a second. This is supported by CDC data, which shows that for children aged 5 to 11 years old, there have been 1.8 million COVID cases, but only 138 deaths. Praise the Lord, only 138. By comparison, approximately double that amount of children have died of pneumonia during the same time period. What? Yes, that's CDC data. Twice as many kids between ages 5 and 11 have died from pneumonia than have from COVID. Okay? So why are they doing this? The CDC concedes that, quote, children are less likely to develop severe illness or die from COVID-19. It notes that findings from several studies suggest that SARS-CoV-2 transmission among students is relatively rare, particularly when prevention strategies are in place. It reluctantly admits several contact tracing studies that found limited student-to-student transmission in schools. So what's going on with that? I can tell you what's going on. Cha-ching! Cha-ching! Control and money. Control and money. So you know they're going to be pushing in the public schools to make it mandatory. You want to come to school, you got to get the COVID vax. 5 to 11. Okay, let me just give you some numbers. I'm sorry to be such a pain. I just love to, you know, bring facts. 5 to 11. Okay, let's start with 5-year-olds. This is from January 1st, 2020 to September 11th this year. Okay? So most of the COVID time. Five-year-olds. 11 have died with COVID. We don't even know if that's from, but it's with COVID, so let's just go with it. Okay? 11 have died from COVID. 11 out of 4 million. That's 0.27 per 100,000. Age 6, 8 out of slightly over 4 million. Age 7, 13 out of 4 million. Age 8, 13 out of another 4 million. Age 9, 14 out of another 4 million. Age 10, 9 out of another 4 million. Age 11, 11 out of 4.1 million. And so just think about that. So we want to vax all of them with a relatively new experimental vaccine when they have a better chance of dying from pneumonia than from COVID. So what's driving that? My brother had told me about a show on Hulu just the other day. He texted me and said, you got to watch this. This is going to make your head explode. And he was right. I just watched the first two episodes last night on Hulu because I'm not upset enough. And so I watched that, and it's on Hulu. It's starring Michael Keaton. And it's about the development and sales and production and promotion of OxyContin. Oxy, right? And these people are so twisted. It's so materialistic. It's so evil. They knew what was going on. They didn't care. Oh, less than 1% of people are going to get addicted. It was all a big lie. It was a sham. And this family that owned the biomedical company, I think it's Purdue is the name of the company. It's so evil. But it's all driven by huge money. They're making huge dollars all over the place. Money, 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 money. So the numbers don't support vaccinating millions and millions and millions of our children and grandchildren. It doesn't support it. It's got, there's no basis in fact here. It's paranoia and it's cash. Am I Mr. Cynical now? Gosh, Steve, you have such a bad attitude. Really? I think I'm just looking at the numbers going, how do we pump an experimental vaccination, which only has at this point about 16 months worth of data on what happens long term, into a bunch of kids who have a higher chance of dying from pneumonia, the flu, than they do from COVID? Because Pfizer and these other people are making millions of dollars. And the government continues to control the narrative. Government control. Man, that's just the world system, friends. That's the spirit of the age. It is what it is. Which is why we need to be praying for these people all over the place. And stand your ground and refuse to allow your child to be turned into a lab rat. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, I was talking about the school board thing just a minute ago. Tomorrow, my good friend Chad Slott will be back in here, and he's been showing up at his school board, which happens to be the same county that I live in here in Wake County, North Carolina. He's got children in the public school system, and he's spoken twice now at the school board. So we want to give him that platform here tomorrow to come in and share what he's been learning, what his kids are experiencing and being exposed to in the public school system here in Wake County. So especially if you're here in the Raleigh area, Wake County, North Carolina. Make sure you tune in tomorrow and share that and put that out there. By the way, you can get the podcast. The podcast comes out each evening. Wherever you get your podcast, the radio show's on there. So listen whenever it works for you. And then be sure to share that. But Chad will be in here tomorrow. Such an important story. And we have to keep the heat on. Never mind that they send a little apology letter out there. Oh, sorry, we referred to upset parents as domestic terrorists. We didn't mean it. Yeah, they did. Okay. Wake up and smell the coffee, everybody. Just got to deal with reality. And one of the other things that we need to deal with reality on, of course, is the nature of the financial system, what's going on economically in the world. So our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital is with us again for a Money Monday update. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always, LandmarkGold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your program today, Steve.
You're very welcome. Always a pleasure. Wow, you sound great and chipper and healthy.
Yeah, we're getting on the mend, and the prayers are being answered. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's so awesome. It's just great to hear you sounding that way. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, so we'll go through a lot of financial and economic news, a lot of crazy stuff happening, you know, because life goes on, and that's just what's going on here. But we always start with a passage of Scripture, Proverbs today. This is a great one. So let's go down this road first, and then we'll look at some headlines.
So it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, our thoughts are very powerful, and the Bible also says, hold every thought accountable to the knowledge and obedience of Jesus Christ. You know, if I hate to bring up personal examples, but, you know, if I would have listened to six doctors and believed that and thought that way, I'd be dead with my heart issues in 2018. But I said, no, I believe that, and you said this also, I believe that God's plan for your life is not over. And so I thought that. I therefore believed it. As you think it, you believe in your heart. If I thought that we were going to die from COVID, and there was a moment I thought that. It's human nature to think that. When bad things happen, we think the negative. But you got to hold that thought accountable, and you got to think that the Lord can do a miracle. And you got to think that God is in the business of saving lives. His salvation is saving lives. And he also is our healer. And he also is our deliverer. And he also is our provider. And if we think those things, God has an environment to do his work.
Exactly right. It's such a powerful reminder. And that's just us living out a life of faith. Instead of going, I don't know that the Lord's going to do that. That's not faith. I'm not talking about being pie in the sky, head buried in the sand. But we should pray big and have big faith and see what the Lord does with it. But there's no reason, since we have access to the throne room, we don't go into the throne room of God and ask for a $5 bill. I mean, go big or go home. And remember the widow and the lady that just continually knocked on the judge's door? And we need to remember that. It's such a great one. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Such a great reminder. Thank you for that, as always, David. Okay, so what's going on financial economic news this week? Any new challenges? Any new curveballs?
So this is the week of earnings. 165 companies are going to come out with earnings. Earnings have been great. Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, Boeing's, General Motors, Amazon, just to name a few. There's the number one thing that's being talked about, though, is inflation. And the Fed isn't talking this week, but a couple of Fed people are talking, and they're warning of big problems coming. Here's Nomura, is one of the largest financial companies in Japan. They're saying that the sugar high is over. They're saying get ready for a retraction phase happening. We had an expansion. Now get ready for a critical phase shift that has happened last week. They said last week, now we're moving into a slowdown. They're talking about why the slowdown? Well, because of the supply chain. Record number of containers off the coast of California. On Friday, it was 79 containers, which is a record number. Today, it's 100 containers.
Jeez.
And it is affecting the supply chain, and they're saying it will continue to be a challenge, the supply chain, until January of 2023. Why?
Man.
Shippers are quitting left and right. People that are truckers. 30% of the truckers are expected to quit. Why? Because they're being forced to be vaccinated, is what they're seeing. Also, shipping rates have gone up 4.5 times from a year ago. So the Federal Reserve actually came out and talked about vaccine mandates, and it said this last Thursday. COVID-19 report vaccine mandates have hurt employment and are contributing to the labor supply problems. And they went on to say this in what you call the Fed Beige Notebook, which comes out 7 times a year. They also said this is one reason why we lost some 4.3 million workers recently quit their job in August. So that's some of the challenges we face. Also, we're seeing it's going to be in a social environment. As crime rates surge, police and vaccine mandates are surging, police is stepping away from not wanting to be a police anymore. 4,500 employees in Chicago, happening in Los Angeles, happening in Baltimore. It goes on and on. Seattle, You know, and if we lose a third, what the projections are, a third of the police forces across the country will be lost due to vaccine mandates.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is like Days of Noah kind of crazy stuff going on right now. It's just really, make sure everybody, we're praying for our nation. Okay, pray for our leaders, whether you like them or not. We need to be bathing these people in prayers because this is just so crazy what's happening right now. Any news on the infrastructure bill, which of course is going to cost anybody anything, so I don't know why we're arguing about it.
Well, they still want to go after our money, the IRS. They haven't figured that out yet. But the thing is, it's changing every day,
that's
Steve.
Right.
And now they're wanting, and you even text me on this, now they're wanting to tax billionaires on unrealized capital gains. So, you know, that's one of, I don't know why that's happening here. Hold
well, and just so people understand that, an unrealized capital gains means you own a stock, it's $10, it goes up to $20, so, but you don't realize that until you sell it. What they're saying is, oh, we're going to come in and go after these 700 richest people in America, and when you have unrealized capital gains, we're going to tap into that. But the ridiculous thing about that, they tap into it all they want. They take it all. It's still not enough to even touch any of our debt. It's just a ridiculous little diversion.
Yeah, and there are all kinds of nonsense in this infrastructure bill. Only 10% of Americans really know what's in it. Here's a couple of things. Jeez. 12 weeks paid vacation for people who either have a newborn child or a relative that's ailing. And I'm not against all these. I'm just saying, how are we going to pay for it?
How do you pay for it?
$1 trillion for child tax credits. And up to $3,600 per child per year, tuition-free college community for 2 years, free health care for three-year-olds, if you have a three-year-old, a four-year-old. It just goes on and on. I mean, the federal government hasn't paid its bills in a balanced budget since 2001, and the Congressional Budget Office expects for the next 30 years will be just the same, massive overspending.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it just goes on and on. Well, you usually bring up these billionaires that are talking about what billionaires and hedge fund people, these massively successful people that know what they're talking about, saying inflation is going to get worse. Obviously, it has. Are there any new ones coming out? And I just saw this over the weekend. Jack Dorsey, who's the CEO of Twitter, came out and said, definitely hyperinflation is coming.
You're exactly. Twitter and Square CEO, he was one of the people I was going to quote today. David Einhorn, another billionaire, says an inflation is here to stay, and Powell hasn't lifted a finger to fix it. In fact, he's actually, what he's doing is creating worse inflation, is what Einhorn says. There's a couple Fed people here. Atlanta Fed says the economy is suddenly on the verge now of contraction. Randall Quarles, he said the government is now adding additional spending that will lead not to transitory inflation anymore, but long-term problems. So we have a big problem happening, and I can go on and list a whole bunch of other
because
of time we don't have it. But, there's lots of billionaires coming out and saying the same thing that's been happening for 9 months.
And there's so much to talk about on these subjects, friends. So next Monday will be a full Money Monday here on the show. So we'll have David for the full hour next week. There's a lot of things we need to go through, and we will. What's the latest news on gold and silver? For those of you that don't know, that's kind of the epicenter of David's expertise. He's been in that industry for over 25 years now. So what's happening there on the news front?
Well, Commerce Bank is the second largest bank in Germany. Think of Bank of America. That would be the equivalency of that in that country. They said gold should profit from its role in the store of value. They said this on Friday, and it broke through some technical resistance. Gold has been on the move. I've been saying it's going to make a move, and now we're seeing that, Steve. In fact, a couple of big people came out in the gold industry. Canadian mining a stock company, Gold Corp. Their previous former chiefs, David Garofalo and Robert McEwen, predicted today that gold in the next few months, I'm not saying this, they're saying this,
right.
The next few months, $3,000 gold.
Jeez. Well, the hyperinflation and this kind of worst-case scenario, which I believe is coming, happens. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's the inverse reaction that happens with precious metals. David, if people want to learn more information, also talk about what's going on with the using your IRA to fund the infrastructure, all that kind of mess, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, and also seizing or looking into your bank account. 844-604 844-604-2575. I'll give the number again, 844-604-2575, or our website, landmarkgold.com.
All right, David, God bless you, brother. Thank you for keeping us in the know, and we look forward to talking to you next Monday on a full Money Monday.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. That was David Fisher, landmarkgold.com. Praise the Lord for his health as well as his wife. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.